I think we are going to go so far to the right that we're wrong, and we're going to lose Texas. These people that are pushing us so far to the crazy right are going to turn us blue if there's not a change of course. And that's the last thing I want to see happen.
Hey, y'all. This is where Texas politics gets interesting. Here again are two guys named Jason, some great guests, and cold Texas beer for another smart conversation on Y'allitics, the unofficial political podcast of Texas.
Hey there, Jason Whiteley with you this week for this episode of Y'allitics. We just got a rare interview that we wanted to share with you. The title of this podcast is from a conservative Texas Republican. He says Texas is going so far to the right that it's going to be wrong. Our guest in this episode is Glenn Rogers. He's a state representative from Palo Pinto County. That's west of Fort Worth. He represents Breckenridge, Weatherford, Mineral Wells, that stretch of counties there going out Interstate 20. He doesn't do a lot of interviews, like I mentioned. Rogers lost his reelection to the legislature last month in the primary from another Republican. And Rogers blames billionaires and a pricey misinformation campaign that they waged against him. Rogers has a conservative voting record, but he is one of those rural Republicans who does not support school vouchers. And because of his position on that one issue, Governor Abbott, Senator Ted Cruz, and billionaire backers campaigned hard against him. So we had a lot of questions. Does Rogers think he still has a place in the Republican Party of Texas? Will he vote for Ted Cruz come November? Did he really challenge the Agriculture Commissioner, Sid Miller, to a duel? And Rogers reveals the new priority that he's focusing on right now in this episode of Y'allitics. Take a listen.
This is where Texas politics gets interesting. For another smart conversation on Y'allitics, the unofficial political podcast of Texas.
Representative, thank you for being on the program here. Let's start with a basic question that some people may not really think about sometimes. Who is in charge in Texas politics?
Well, there are primarily two billionaires from West Texas, Tim Dunn and Ferris Wilkes, that are the two most powerful men in Texas politics.
It's been a month now since you lost your race in the Super Tuesday in the primary there too. What kind of reaction have you gotten from Republicans about the things that were said leading up to Election Day?
Well, it depends on which Republicans you talk to. The ones that I identify with were very disappointed that the election went the way it did and that so many lies were told. And I think the most disappointing thing for me is not the lies. We knew they were coming, but the number of people that believed the lies that were told during the campaign about my record and about me and the character assassination that went on. And I've had, this is my third tough race, but we were able to overcome it in the other two. This time there was just such a tsunami of misinformation from a variety of sources, not just Wilkes and Dunn, but also the voucher lobby out of state, and then Governor Abbott got involved. And so it was just more than we could overcome, quite frankly.
And, you know, it did get very heated, and we read things that you wrote as well. And, you know, we saw many of the things that were published and against you, billboards, et cetera. Do you regret anything that you said?
No, I don't. Not really. I didn't say anything that wasn't true. Obviously, sometimes you think I could have maybe used a different choice of words at times, but generally, no. Everything I said, I stand behind.
You challenged the Agriculture Commissioner Sid Miller to a duel.
No,
are you
I didn't.
Serious
I
about
didn't.
That? You stand behind that?
No, let's clear that up. I did not. You know, if you read my text, I did not challenge him to a duel. What I said was, if you're going to strut around with your rifle saying you're going to shoot rhinos and call me a rhino, where I come from, if you say you're going rhino hunting and you identify me as a rhino, then that means you're coming to shoot me. Okay. So I said, if you'll read the text, it said that it would be more honorable to challenge me to a duel than it would be to threaten to shoot me. Because when you say you're going hunting against somebody that is unarmed, usually an animal, a rhino, or whatever you want to call it. And so I said it would be more honorable. I did not challenge him to a duel. And that was pointed out. Several people pointed out the correct interpretation of my text, but others just ran with that I challenged him to a duel because that was more fun and fit their narrative.
It's 2024. You don't see that very often either. let's talk about the money from billionaires, though. There's always been big money in politics, in Texas politics especially. How is this different, though, the money from West Texas, the money from out of state supporting school vouchers?
Yeah, so to begin with, I have nothing against billionaires. I would like to be a billionaire myself. So we keep talking about the billionaires like there's something wrong with that. Certainly it's not. Certainly as a Republican, I've fully endorsed billionaires and making money. I have no problem with that. It's how the money is used. It's how it's used to disseminate misinformation and lies and where to them the end justifies the means. And I just don't believe that those tactics are good for Texas or good for America. And it's, and in most cases, the billionaires you're talking about, I agree with them on almost everything, but it's their tactics and the fact that it's really not about conservatism. It's about control. And to me, we mentioned rhino a minute ago. A rhino, in my definition currently, is that it's a conservative Republican who cannot be controlled, and I cannot be controlled. So they'll do anything to defeat me because they can't control me. And that's where the problem lies. It's not the money. It's really the fact that the money is used to support lies, to support misinformation about my record.
Do you think there's still a place for you in the Republican Party of Texas today?
Well, I'm still a Republican. I'll continue to vote Republican. I'm disappointed with the direction of the Republican Party. I'm not planning on running for office again, if that's what you're meaning. If you mean, will I continue to support the Republican Party? Yes, I will. But there needs to be drastic change. They've gone astray in starting with our state Republican Party. It's gone astray. It's not the Republican Party that I've been a part of all my life. I consider myself a Reagan Republican, and we've veered so much from a true Reagan Republicanism.
Yeah, I mean, the Reagan Republicans are a minority, I would say, in the GOP today. It's the party, both parties have completely flipped. But when you look at the Republican Party, you know, nationally and here in Texas, it's not what it was 10 years ago. It's not what it was, especially 40 years ago.
Well, they're not a minority of Republicans. They're a minority of Republican leadership. Those are two different things. You're talking about the 3% that control the Republican Party. That's not representative of the what I call the true grassroots Republicans. It's not representative.
What kind of changes would you like to see inside the GOP? And do you think anybody else really supports that? Because the people we hear aren't the ones who really, you know, back a lot of these things. Well, the first part of the question is, what kind of changes would you like to see inside the GOP today?
Well, there needs to be more recognition of who's in control and how they're controlling our party. I read something last week, a survey that showed that only 20% of Republicans have ever heard of Tim Dunn or Ferris Wilkes. So there's a lot of lack of information about who's really in control. But what I would like to see is campaign reform, and not necessarily the money being spent, but the transparency is a big problem. I had a campaign transparency bill that would have required these dark money groups to specify who they supported in a campaign. It sailed through the House. The only vote against it was Brian Slayton, and it passed the Senate unanimously, and then Governor Abbott vetoed that bill. I want to know why Governor Abbott would veto a campaign transparency bill.
Well, why do you think he did that?
Obviously is needed. Why would he do that? I mean, you'll have to ask the governor. I really want to know that too. Certainly, he vetoed three of my bills as punishment for my anti-voucher stance. But why he would pick the campaign transparency bill it baffles me. Okay.
Representative, you have a very conservative voting record. Why do you think you were targeted over this just single one issue that you disagreed with the governor over?
Yeah, that's a great question. And one of the things that the governor has done in challenging me, the voucher argument was not working because the majority of my district are not for vouchers. And just like my other, they call us rural Republicans, other rural Republicans. So instead of going on the voucher issue, the governor went after us on the border, saying we were weak on the border. Well, I have agreed with and supported the governor on every single legislative priority, particularly the border. And so to say I'm weak on the border is patently false. The only way I could be weak on the border is if the governor's weak on the border, because I'm with him 100%. And I don't believe he is. And I'm not either. But that was one of the lies that was told by the governor himself against me, that I really resent his tactics on that. So there's two things he did. He said I was weak on the border, or he couldn't trust me on the border. He said that about other rural Republicans. And then he also said that I consistently vote with Democrats, which is an absolute lie. So to give you an example of the way that is played out. So beginning in June, they had billboards posted all over my district that said I voted with Democrats to impeach Ken Paxton. Okay, I voted with 60 Democrats to impeach Ken Paxton. Okay, well, I did vote with 60 Democrats, but I voted with 72% of Republicans. That's not voting with Democrats. That's voting with the Republican majority. And when I look back on my voting record, and you look at Second and Third Amendments, you look at committee votes, you look at all the amendments it was over 5,000 votes. And 99% of the time, I voted with the Republican majority, if you truly look at my voting record. That's not a voting with Democrats record or a non-conservative voting record. So it's misrepresented. And what really disappoints me is the governor's language comes directly from Texas scorecard propaganda. And I'm really disappointed that the governor would be using their talking points to describe and say that we're voting with Democrats.
And Texas scorecard.
Not true.
Yeah. And Texas Scorecard is the organization that's backed by Tim Dunn and Ferris Wilkes out there in West Texas, the billionaires that you mentioned a moment ago.
It's their propaganda mouthpiece is what it is.
Are you still upset about how all this played out?
You know, I'll be honest with you. I am much better off personally. I can spend more time with my grandkids. I have neglected a lot of things here at the ranch that I need to take care of. We have family business that I've been putting off because of my duties. And, you know, it's been expensive. It's been hard on my family. I'm disappointed that I can't complete the things that I started, because I really ran for one reason only, and that was to represent the unrepresented needs of rural Texas and represent my district. If I'm not going to be allowed to do that, if that's no longer the way we do politics in Texas, there's no representative government, then there's probably not a place for me anyway. So I'm disappointed for public schools. I'm disappointed for rural Texas. I'm disappointed for representative government. I'm not disappointed for myself personally.
Well, do you expect vouchers are going to pass?
You know, I'm still optimistic they're not. I think there's a chance we could win some of these runoffs. I hope we will. There's also some anti-voucher colleagues that didn't vote anti-voucher. And I'm hoping that they'll see the light and vote their true conscience, because we have some colleagues that I know are anti-voucher that took the easy way, and they took the political way. And I'm not going to say who they are, but it's not hard to figure that out. And I hope that they'll search very deeply and look at what do they really believe, and do like Sam Houston says, do right and risk the consequences. That's what I did. I fell on a sword for public education. I never intended to die on the sword, but I politically died on it as well. But I understand people don't want to do that. They have other political aspirations, but people need to be true to their beliefs. And I think some will come over. And also, there's a chance, and I don't want this to happen, but there's a chance we're going to lose some races to Democrats. You look at Steve Allison's swing district. I mean, that could be lost to Democrats now. So I think it was just a huge mistake to try to out all of us strong rural Republicans that stood for public schools.
Does Dade Phelan win his runoff next month?
Does he win it? I'm hoping and praying he does. Yeah, and it's going to be close. But yes,
he's the underdog in the race. I mean, it's going to be tough for him, isn't it?
It's going to be tough. It's going to be tough. He's going to win. Okay?
There's a clear split in the GOP today. Everyone knows that. Your race kind of proves that. And the other rural Republicans who were defeated. This is the George W. Bush Republicans, the Reagan Republicans versus the Trump Republicans today. How do you think this civil war, as it's been called, how do you think this ends inside the GOP?
I don't think it ends well. I think we are going to go so far to the right that we're wrong, and we're going to lose Texas. These people that are pushing us so far to the crazy right are going to turn us blue if there's not a change of course. And that's the last thing I want to see happen. But that's the direction I see us going, our current course.
Have you heard from the governor's office? Have you heard from Texas Scorecard, anyone else since Super Tuesday?
Well, No, but I have not been on social media. My wife banned me from social media, and which was a good thing. So
she's a smart woman, I guess, huh?
Yeah, I'm getting on there very seldom. So no, I have not heard directly. Yeah. I mean, Texas Scorecard usually would ask me for interviews almost on a weekly basis, which I never return their calls or speak to them. So I wouldn't know if they'd try to reach out to me or not.
I want to read a letter to the editor that was in the Dallas Morning News. I'm paraphrasing part of this here. How could Representative Rogers not see this coming? Rogers was an enabler of what has become the hallmark of Republican politics. Why would he be surprised that the very beast he helped to create and nurture has now turned on him? What's your reaction to that?
Oh, I think that's kind of misguided. I don't see how I contributed to creating the beast, other than the only way the beast is created, and I would say I would not be implicit in that. The beast is created by allowing Tim Dunn and Ferris Wilkes politics to influence votes. And we have Scorecard Republicans of different levels. We have a group that are just totally bought and paid for. They're financed, and they make no qualms about it. We have a group that may take a little money, but not much, but they vote with them all the time. And then we have a group that say they're not influenced, but they let them influence their votes. And so I think that's what the question is asking, is how have we let this monster come in and take over the Republican Party? I'm not saying that I've been 100, that I have never, ever been influenced in some way, or I haven't taken a vote that was a little bit easier to do that because I knew that's what they wanted. But I would say that probably less than anybody in the House, I have not allowed that to happen. Things like voting on your local and consent calendar, which is just a mass vote for all the bills. Sure. And a lot of members will go back and change their votes to increase their scorecard rating and that kind of thing. We need to stop doing that because we are enabling the beast. I would agree with the comment that we've enabled the beast, but I would disagree with the fact that I've been an enabler of the beast. At least if I have, it's been very, 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 very minimal that I've contributed to that.
Let me ask a couple more specifics here and we'll let you run. Ted Cruz endorsed your opponent. He did not support you. Do you plan on supporting him in November?
Ted Cruz has never supported me. He received $15 million in his race in 2016 when he ran against Donald Trump. He received $15 million from the Wilkes family. He would never endorse me. That was no surprise. He didn't endorse me in any three of my campaigns. Will I support him against a Democrat? I'll hold my nose and do it. Yes, I will. I'll vote for a Republican over a Democrat anytime. But I have very little respect for people that receive that much money from Wilkes and Dunn, quite frankly.
Representative, what will you be watching for come November?
What will I be watching for?
As far as the election goes, what specifically are you going to be watching for?
You're talking about state, national, both?
Just kind of all of it.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm hoping that it puts me in a very difficult situation because I'm going to support the Republican candidate over the Democrat candidate. I just want to see our party get back to normalcy. I want to see our party quit going so far to the extremes. Okay. So I'm hoping that we'll see victory in November, and I'm hoping we'll begin to take our party back. We have to take our party back. When you have a state Republican Party chairman, Matt Rinaldi, that's the attorney for Ferris Wilkes, that has received received a lot of money from them, been supported by them, we have a problem. And we have to begin to take our party back. Take it back, quite frankly, from the billionaire dominionists that are trying to control Texas, or are controlling Texas, not just trying.
I hear that you are considering writing a book on all this. Is that
really? Where'd you hear that?
That's what a friend told me. Is that is that true or is that false?
We like to write, and I've been collecting a lot of information. I think I have a very compelling story, being on the inside of exactly what's happened. And yeah, we're seriously considering that.
What will it focus on?
It will focus on who is in control of Texas politics. It will control on the misinformation and lies that have been used against many across the state. And I don't want to tell you too much.
Any ideas coming out in a year or so, or is this something you're expediting?
Well, we're trying to expedite it, but I, quite frankly, I've had a little bit of, post-campaign PTSD. I've been trying to take a little time off and just get my thoughts together. But once we get rolling, I plan on spending a couple hours every morning before daylight working on this. And I have some others that are helping me. So,
Representative, we appreciate the time. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. I appreciate it very much. You have a good day.
Click subscribe and get Y'all-itics every week. Y'all-itics, the unofficial political podcast of Texas.